And welcome to our feature today. And yesterday we're at the Illinois Farm Bureau's office up in Bloomington as they had a meeting for those radio stations that are part of the radio, the RFD radio network. And we also got to hear from the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Volume's a little hard, but he gave us some remarks because they had an ag roundtable, legislative roundtable in Bloomington yesterday as well. And some interesting comments from Rich Giebert, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, so we'll play those for you at this point.
I really appreciate that you provide the opportunity for us to tell our story and what's important to agriculture. Talk about the issues that are important to not only our members, but farmers across the state of Illinois and the Midwest and throughout America. We have a couple issues that are really important to us on the federal level, just as well as those important issues on the state level. One is probably the GMO issue. With Vermont coming on live July 1 with their new rules and regulations, it really provides a roadblock, you might say, for not only agriculture or agricultural products, but for manufacturing. Well, what a nightmare and what chaos is this going to create, and the challenges our manufacturing to deliver the goods, put the goods on the grocery shelves. And it's really unfortunate that one state can have that large of an impact on this nation and on this country. We surely hope that Senator Roberts and Senator Stabenow can get together sooner than later. They're supposed to be in talks yesterday and today, hopefully to find some resolution, and that we can get this before the Senate can get 60 votes. Get this passed. We have seen already several manufacturers that have succumbed to that ruling and have changed their and put labels on the products that they're going to put on the grocery shelves. It's also going to have an impact on those manufacturers if they don't get it right. And it's unfair to fine the manufacturer $1,000 per product per day that the wrong product is on the shelf or doesn't have the right label. The right grocery store shelf. It'd be a nightmare for a manufacturing company to have 50 different labels for each and every state. Because I can pretty much be assured, you can be assured, and not every state is going to have exactly the same law, and that's why we need a federal law that would cover each and every state. So we'll see where that goes, and hopefully it can be resolved. You know, as Mark talked earlier about the frustration here in the state, there's also frustration on the federal level as well. And if you look back over time, and you go back a number of years ago, if you remember Speaker Tip O'Neill, Senator Kennedy, and a number of other senators and congressmen, you know, they didn't like each other, or they had different positions and different opinions. They had their own bills. But they had the respect for each other. They were statesmen. They had the ability to sit down, talk about the issues, and find a compromise. And that's harder and harder today for our legislators to get together and find compromise. They draw lines in the sand too quick and not try to find a compromise. They stick to the guns too hard. I don't know. I guess call me old school. But I think I compliment our legislators that we're statesmen. And I'm not saying that our legislators today are not statesmen. It's just harder to find compromise and have the willingness to sit down and work together. But we'll see. Earlier today, we had the Illinois Ag Legislative Roundtable. And what a great event for ag, commodity groups, business groups to come together to talk about issues that are important to us, each and every one of us. How can we find a way to work and get things done? Get our points of view across, not to carry and to carry out that each one of the commodity groups put together. But more important, what's important to our members and what's on their minds, and how can we make their lives, I don't want to say easier, but better. Particularly on legislation that affects our pocketbook. And another one of those points is trade promotion or trade trans-Pacific partnership. You know, as a farmer, I look at each and every way that I can find a way to add a nickel or a dime to my bottom line, whether it's corn, soybeans, wheat that I produce, or livestock that I raise. That all has an effect on my bottom line. And we have two speakers today to talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and how that impacts not only agriculture, but the U.S. economy and the Illinois economy. How important that is for these countries to all to come together. And the dollars that would be affected. A lot of the products that we raise here in the state of Illinois doesn't stay here in the state. It's exported outside of our borders. There's a lot of unique opportunities for us to do that. To drop some trade barriers, the tariffs, particularly with Japan, whether it's on pork or rice or beef, or any of the other countries. Our two best trading partners, north and south of us, Canada and Mexico. Those trade agreements don't come easy. It takes years to negotiate those and hammer them out because nobody wants to give on anything. But in order to have trade, and trade's important to each and every one of those countries' economy, that we need to find ways to make this work and do it better. Canada has not approved theirs, and they're waiting for us, the United States, to do and to get our trade agreement put through Congress. The president and administration are strongly in favor of it. Yeah, there was some stumbling blocks and some real challenges, particularly with the Rice Council, on trying to get rice into Japan, where Japan has a 700% tariff on rice coming into the country. They're very protective of their agriculture. And rightfully so, because we should be protective of our agriculture here in this state. But yet at the same time, it needs to be fair and equitable. So we'll see where it goes. And Illinois is in the top five of exported products. If you look at the state of Illinois, what do we have that makes us unique? We have great soils. We've got great infrastructure, whether it's rivers, rails, or trucks. You look at our trading partners, as I said, Canada and Mexico, and hopefully Cuba someday. We've had a number of Illinois commodity groups that have gone to Cuba and looked at what those opportunities are. They've traveled to Panama, Colombia, South Korea, where that trade agreement was passed just a year and a half ago. Really opens up our markets and provides opportunities and more dollars for our farmers and those that produce those products. Hopefully we can get this done. If you listen to all the rhetoric by the presidential candidates this year, somewhat different than we've ever heard in the past. Some are pretty bold. I can't imagine some of the candidates that went into Iowa and talked against renewable fuel standards and ethanol and got out of there without being tarred and feathered. Or going into West Virginia or Tennessee or Kentucky and bashing coal and leaving with their hides still attached. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of rhetoric talked about. And you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for us in agriculture and in business and manufacturing to talk about the importance of this and let the American consumer understand and see how important that is. Adam Nielsen and I were in Washington, D.C. a month or so ago. I sat down with one of our congressmen here in Illinois, of which agriculture is the number one industry here in the state. And he made a comment. He says, Rich, he said, I don't know if I can vote for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I said, Congressman, how can you say that? Or what's your problem? He goes, well, I got 3,000 steel workers. They're going to lose their jobs. It's going to impact their families. And I really don't know if I can support this trade agreement because they're losing their jobs. The congressman, I said, I understand the dilemma that you're in, the stress that you're under. But let me just say this, Congressman. Within your district, there's 6,500 Farm Bureau members and the same amount of their spouses that this trade agreement is important to. And if you're counting heads, let's say 12,000 versus 3,000. And that's unfortunate to have to say that. Push that button. But agriculture is important to this state as well. and so are those steel jobs here in the state of Illinois. That's why we need important and good, fair, balanced trade agreements to make things work. You know, earlier today we had three speakers. Two of them talked about the Trade Promotion Authority. David Sounson from the American Farm Bureau did an excellent job. He's worked on trade in AFBF circles for over 20 years in Washington, D.C. We had Rob Carney, the legislative liaison for Caterpillar, talk about how manufacturing, export manufacturing, impacts their business and how important this trade agreement is. And you know, it's a unique opportunity that Caterpillar does, and I really applaud them for this. But for every piece of equipment that goes down the assembly line, so their workers can see, their employees can see where this piece of equipment's going, whether it's India, Egypt, Korea, wherever, a flag for that country is put on the front of that piece of equipment as it's being built. So they can see where that equipment is going. Now, not all of their equipment is exported. Some of it goes right, and a lot of it goes right here in the United States. But that's really unique. thing to do to tell their employees and show them what to do. We had David Rainier speak to us about the farm economy and what the farm lending issues are and the challenges that we're facing. And he did a great job of how important different areas are. That farmers today are not caught in this between this rock and a hard spot, you might say, like they were in the 80s, with 18% interest in a declining economy, really things were south, headed south in a fast order. But farmers are used to cyclical types of markets. We can work through those and get the job done. We've learned how to sharpen our pencils, to use financial statements to our advantage and look at them and shift and adjust. Try to find lower input costs. Cut back where we need to cut back. But what has really helped us do the job that we do is technology.
And again, the comments from Rich Giebert, the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, to those in attendance at that meeting yesterday. After his comments, got to sit down with a minute with him and found out that he was trying to get back home to finish planting beans, that he had a lot of beans to plant.
Hopefully, after today, we'll be about half done with soybeans. We got about 40 acres of corn to replant that we planted Friday and Saturday before Mother's Day and got 7 inches of rain on it. So it didn't do it any favors down in the river bottoms where it's flat and black. It just couldn't get the water off fast enough. And we got some drowned out spots we'd like to fill back in.
And at the same time, you tell me you're going to start cutting wheat.
Right, and the hot temperatures this week, we're supposed to be in the upper 90s. I hope the humidity is a little lower. The wheat is turning fast the last 2 weeks, and I believe to avert some of the issues we had the last couple years in southern Illinois with test weight issues, vomitoxin, sprouting in the heads with all the rain that we've had, we're going to take the wheat out early, dry it, and put it in the bin.
And again, Rich Giebert, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, we got to speak with him yesterday. So certainly in an area that, when you've still got half your beans to plant, we can feel pretty fortunate here. With that, we'll wrap up today's feature.